as they come, I could sing, and they would come forward. Forget singing, right? Someone said I'll sing in heaven, but I don't know that. But if you would go in your Bible, please, which is what I do, go with me, please, over to the Gospel of John and chapter 8. Gospel of John and chapter 8. Remember now, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. God gives four windows to look at his wonderful life all the way to his crucifixion. The Apostle John is the last living apostle, and he is the last writer of all that God has to say until he comes again. And thus, Revelation 22, don't add and don't subtract anything in all of these prophecies. Leave them alone. I've said what I've said. Hear what I said. And I'll help you enjoy the benefits of what I said. So now, looking to God's Word, the Gospel of John, and the Gospel of John, remember, is to help what? To help us understand God's wonderful, wonderful person. Who is it born in Bethlehem of Judea? Who is it that went to Calvary's cross? Who is it that rose again? It was the God-man, God's perfect humanity in the person of Christ, God's perfect deity in the person of Christ. The perfect man had to go to the cross on our behalf. Now, having said that, we'll look to the Lord. Our God and Father, set apart thy word. Spirit of God, honor your work, your word. Help us. Thank you very, very much for your personal presence. God, thank you. Father, thank you for your presence. Thank you. Thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. You'll remember as we have proceeded in the Gospel of John to chapter 8, and the Pharisees, scribes, Sadducees, Pharisee scribes, have sought to try to trap, ensnare our Lord. They use the woman taken in adultery, chapter 8, 1 through 11. That utterly failed. He then said, in the light of the Feast of Tabernacles that they have just been through, chapter 8 and verse 12, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. In other words, I am the light. In order to see life, when you see life, you're going to see light. I am the life and I am the light. I give light in order to see. When you see, you're going to have life. Now, having said that little bit, keeping in mind, the Pharisees and scribes are going to react to that. He claimed in verse 12, I am the light of the world. And when he did that, he claimed, and they understood it, he claimed to be the Messiah, to be and do only what God could do. And the rabbis declared in their teaching, rabbi, and in the process they declared that the name of Messiah is light. The name of the Messiah is light. And that was one of the things they knew about the Messiah. He is light. And remember, the Lord, David will say in Psalm 27, the Lord is my light. He is the light of my life. Now, Having said that, they're reacting to that. And they're going to use that because they understand just what he said. No question. And they're challenging him on it. And thus you have, as we shared, verse 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, and we went through them. And in the process, they're trying to trap him, trick him, get him cornered, so that what right has he got to say? What right has he got to say, I am the light of the world? Now, so having said that, and we reminded ourselves, remember, without turning there, in Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20, that one of the wonderful maneuvers, wonderful, awesome, terrible maneuver, wonderful in the wrong way, that the world uses is to turn everything upside down. And Israel was no exception. Isaiah 5 and 20, remember, says, evil you call evil good, and good evil. You call darkness light, and light darkness. You call bitter sweet, and sweet bitter. You turn everything upside down. The way to do is turn it all upside down. So then, we who love darkness rather than light, because of our deeds, we don't want to be exposed to the light. Who is the light? That's you, God. We don't want to be exposed to you. So we love darkness. And in order for us to escape, to try to escape, to elude you, we're going to call light darkness and darkness light. So that our darkness, which we can all agree upon, we all agree that darkness is better than light, in the sense that we're all able to have our own opinions, our own religion, our own thinking, and no one's going to say you can't, you can believe what you want to believe, do what you want to do, whatever you want, you can do it. That's because we love and agree, we love darkness, and we are in agreement with darkness. We can be all divided among ourselves, but we have a unity, a unifying place, that's darkness, when we're able to get along quite well with each other in the world. And we don't mind the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Islam and all of it. All of them can be there. Oh, unless they don't get too radical like Islam. Then, hey, it's all right. It's all right. When it comes to God, it isn't all right. It isn't all right then. And here are the Pharisees doing and saying what they do, and they're going to try to trick him, as we shared, and they challenge him. What right have you got? Remember, verse 13, the Pharisees therefore said unto him, thou bearest record of thyself, witness of thyself, thy record is not true. How can you by yourself tell us who you are? You know the law. You know that at the mouth of two or three witnesses, it has to be proven or said. And you're all by your lonesome. And how can you say that you are the light of the world? I am the light of the world. How can you do that? And God, you can do it. No question, you do it. And you know what? They did it too. They did the same thing without any witnesses, as it were, it seems. Do you know that they probably all were able to say their name? They all knew where they lived. They all knew what they did. They never had a problem. They were never challenged on who do you think you are to say that you're a Pharisee? Who do you think you are to say you're a member of the Sanhedrin? Who do you think you are? And they all did it, and they didn't mind at all. But now they're challenging our Lord, and you'll catch it in a moment. I am the light of the world. And so therefore, and by the way, you know who you are, don't you? Is that all right? Don't you all know who you are? There's great doubt out there. You all know who you are. And if need be, you could produce in some form a birth certificate, some kind of passport or something that would verify who you are. You could do that, couldn't you? Now, keeping that in mind, our God, our Lord Jesus Christ, has been challenged, and they're challenging him based on the law, and we'll pick it up here in a minute. And in the process of that law, and he is going to give, he's going to tell him, listen, I am able to say who I am because I am who I am. Chapter 8 and verse 17. Is it not written in your law that the testimony of two men is true? In your law, it is written and stands written in your law. He didn't say God's law. He didn't say Moses' law. He said your law, because they have gone and claimed the Old Testament, as it were, as they want to. They have claimed it, the law, as their own. And once the law, as we shared last time, is your own, if it's your law, your church, your car, your house, you can do what you want if it's yours. If it isn't yours, you can't do that because it doesn't belong to you. What had they done? They had claimed the law as theirs. And God uses that. I'm going to say, you claim the law, and your law, which is his law, which he is the lawgiver, that's where it came from, at Mount Sinai. It is written in your law, verse 17, that the testimony of two men is true. I am one, verse 18, that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness with me. So I want you to know that I and my Father, I have a second witness. I do. And I want you to know your law. And we shared that last time together in Deuteronomy 18, etc. At the mouth of two or three witnesses, shall a thing be established, etc. And we shared that. So he has them. If you got to have two or three or so to show proof, all right? He said, I have proof, and your law. By the way, one other place, just to get the flavor of that, over in chapter 15 of the Gospel of John, it will be found again. Chapter 15, verse 25. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled, that is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. He says, this is your law. This is what you do. So he's using it. This is what you say you believe. This is what you said is yours. Then what you say is yours says this. Over in chapter 7, back over, chapter 7, and in verse 19. 7 and 19. Did not Moses give you the law? Yet none of you keepeth the law. Why go you about to kill me? And he said, now listen, you guys are doing what you're doing. You've forgotten the law is God's. God has the authority to say what he says and do what he does. You don't have any authority to say and do what you do. You're claiming as if you're saying you do have authority because it's your law. But by the way, it isn't your law. And by the way, I am able to say, John chapter 8, verse 12, I am the light of the world. I am to say that. And when I get down to verse 18, chapter 8, verse 18, he says the little two words again. I am one. I am that I am. Exodus 3 and 14. I am Moses. What? Moses to God. What shall I say when I go to Pharaoh and to the people? What shall I say your name is, as Moses is introduced to God in the burning bush? I am that I am hath sent you. I sent you. Who sent you? I am. I am. You are. We are people. Are we not? We are not parrots. We're not chickadees. We're not dogs or cats. We're humans. Wonderful persons. And we're able to say what no one else can. You never heard a cat say it. You never heard anyone say it except humans. I am. I will. I ought. I have the right to make decisions, and I am morally responsible to who I am. I am, I ought, and I will. Only humans do that. God, you made us in your image and likeness. I did. I am, I will, I ought. I am morally responsible, said God. I am. Now, that's why I gave the Ten Commandments. You want to know about God? God said, I don't steal, I don't covet, I don't commit adultery. You want to know what God's like? I don't do those things. I don't do those things. Now, thus, over in chapter 8, picking up the thought, if I may, in verse 19, chapter 8 and verse 19. Then, after verse, I'll read verse 18 again for context. I am one that beareth witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. So I have two witnesses. Then said they unto him, Where is thy Father? Jesus answered, Ye neither know me nor my Father. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. Now, back up to the beginning of verse 19. Then his answer to them, then said they unto him, Where is thy Father? Their question. Where is thy Father? Where is your Father? That's what they want to know. Where is your Father? I and my Father are one. And you remember, you can turn your page just for the sake of knowing it. Hold your finger here and go right over to chapter 10. Easy to see it. Chapter 10, picking up, please, in verse 30. Remember, no one can pluck him out of my Father's hand. Chapter 10, verse 30. I and my Father are one. We're one. We're the same. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Back over to chapter 8. Chapter 8 and verse 19. They ask the question, Where is thy Father? They didn't ask who. They didn't ask who is thy Father. Why not? Why didn't they say who? Hang on for a sec. And go with me to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 14. John chapter 14, picking up if I can, in verse 8. Philip in the upper room, remember, Philip in the upper room is going to say, in verse 8, going directly there, Philip saith unto him in the upper room, Lord, show us the Father. It sufficeth us. We want to see who? Him. We want to see him. But you guys, Pharisees, you aren't asking to see him. You're asking to say, where is he? Your question is where, not who. Not who, not at all. And verse 9, Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Show us. Now, over in John chapter 16, just adding to that easily, John chapter 16, and if I can, in verse 3, these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. They don't know the Father of me. So back over, if you would, to chapter 8 and in verse 19, where is thy Father? Not who, but where. And the light they want, and to get some more help on that, hold you just a place, not very far away, over to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. Where is thy Father? Not who, but where. John chapter 5. Picking up, if I may, in, this is the, again, the Pharisees, Sadducees, scribes. Verse 17. 5:17. But Jesus answered them, my Father worketh, hitherto and I work. Now, how do the Jews understand that? Therefore, the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. You are saying you're God. What right have you got to say you're God? Ah. Now, chapter 8. What are they doing? They're going to try to trick him again. Trick him to get him. They know. They know. They already know the answer. They know. They know. They know. They do. They do. Your Father's God. And we want you to say it. Because if you'll say your Father's God, it's blasphemy. And we can get you. Just say your Father's God. See? Now, so then, where is thy Father? And Jesus answered them, Jesus answered, verse 19, Ye neither know me, nor my Father. And the little word if in there, and that if you had known me, the structure is such that it's contrary to reality. You don't know me. It isn't a question of that. You don't know me. Straight out. You don't know me. Wow. Where is thy Father? Jesus answered, Ye neither know me nor my Father. You reject my Father, you reject me, you reject the Spirit of God, you reject the triune God, which you say when you say your Shema, hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord. You reject that. You don't want to understand what you just said when you say that in Deuteronomy chapter 6, etc. So now, having known, you have known, and you know, you have known, neither have you known me nor my Father. If you had known me, and they didn't, there's the clause. If you had known me, and you don't, you should have known my Father also. To know me is to know my Father. I and my Father are one. I came to reveal God. I came to reveal God in all of his wonderful fullness. I came as the Son to reveal the Father, and the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to make that real and make that work. Now, having said that, over if you would please, and by the way, I'll pick it up in case I don't get back. Verse 20, these words spake Jesus in the treasury, remember the court of the women, where all the 13 boxes of collection boxes were. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught. He was teaching in the temple. And by the way, No man laid hands on him. No, they tried to get him. They tried, but they could never do it. No army, no police protection, no security. Nope, they couldn't do it. Why not? For his hour was not yet come. His hour had not come. It had not happened. He had not given himself to the cross and his death. He hadn't done that at all. And until he did that, no one was going to touch him. God, are you able to be that kind of God to protect us? I am. Think of all the germs in the room. We mentioned earlier, all the back germs, billions, zillions of dust. And God knows where every one of those pieces of dust, where they came from, and where they land, and where they go. That's my God, your God. Wow. I'm impressed, God. Mm-hmm. And, by the way, in the process of that, in the process, you need to be looking and understand that God, can you protect? And I can. I can keep you from all of these diseases. They're all there. Germs, and think of it, you have billions of bacteria in you to eat all the bad bacteria. And there's a war going on, right? You all know this better than I do. You're all down in there. Here's your stomach and here's your system loaded with bacteria and viruses. Boom, they're all over the place. Remember, I had a book out here the other day, showed you the pictures of them down there. They took pictures of them. I mean, everyone's eating something. And the good guys eat the bad guys. And if the bad guys eat the good guys, then you're sick. If the good guys eat the bad guys, you stay better. And wow. And you're worried about bugs, right? You're worried about germs. You are a germ. Is that right? You're loaded with them. There's nothing wrong with that. God, you let it happen. It's us. And therefore, we have to look to you. You made the body. You made this world. So we need to trust you with all our heart. And therefore, over to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Picking up, if I may, in verse 27. You know it. You cannot know the Father without the Son. God, the infinite, invisible God, it's impossible to tackle you in any way, shape, or form. You are beyond everything, and all of creation is in the middle of you. So therefore, God, how are we going to handle you in our little limited way? Well, you're going to become a man born in Bethlehem of Judea so that we can understand your wonderful person better. So now, God, looking to you, and apart from Jesus Christ, apart from the promise of Jesus Christ, how are we going to handle it? We don't. So chapter 11, verse 27. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father, save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. God, I can't know you apart from your Son. No, it's impossible. You are the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes into the Father but by you. You're the only way. Over, if you would, please, in the light of that, over to, 1 John, all the way, Revelation, 1 John, back of your Bible. 1 John in chapter 2, keeping in mind. 1 John chapter 2, picking up, please, in verse 22. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth, and then it helps you, denieth. I don't mind. Jesus is a nice man, a wonderful prophet, a wonderful Savior. No, he's God, God in the flesh. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. They asked, where is your Father? Not who, because they knew what they were doing. They were trying to trick him. Now, at the end of verse 22, he that is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son, verse 23, whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. So God, if I leave the Son out, where am I going to be? Where is Unitarianism going to be? Nowhere. Nowhere. Never going to make it. Now, etc., along with the rest. So now, in the light of that, dear friends, would you go over with me, please, to the Gospel of John, chapter 18. The Gospel of John and chapter 18. And when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you become a child of God, etc. Hanging on to that. And now, I want to go and just use the illustration to see it. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Now, he said, I am who I am, and I have every right to say who I am. You want two or three witnesses? My Father beareth witness. The Word beareth witness. The Spirit of God bears witness. They all bear witness to who I am. So I have every right to say who I am. I have every right to say it. And now, exercise. Did you say that? Did you practice that? Yes, I did. John chapter 18, picking up, please, in verse 36. Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight. Then I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness, bear record, testimony, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Every one that is of the truth heareth my word. Every one that wants to be real and know the light. I don't want to call darkness light and light darkness. I want light as light and darkness is darkness. And I want to see. I understand that. Then if you do that, you'll come to me. I am the light of the world. And I am the life of the world. If you want light and you recognize light as light and darkness as darkness, then you'll come to me. When you come to me, since I am the light of the world, you will find life. When you find life, you'll be children of light and live in the light. And no longer will you want to hide in darkness. No more. No. So now, here, verse 38, Pilate answers in response. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. No fault. He said the truth. He said who he was. Over to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. He bore witness to Pontius Pilate that he is who he is. He did that to the Pharisees and scribes, but they didn't want to hear it. They loved darkness. They didn't want to know it. Now, here in 1 Timothy 6, going directly, if I can, to verse 13. Paul, are you going to make a note of that event? Yes, I am. Chapter 6 and verse 13. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep his commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus gave a good confession. Pilate said, Are you the king? He said, I am the king. Good confession. Good. Are you who you are? Who are you? How do you prove who you are? Say, well, I have a birth certificate. I have a name. Now, having that little bit in mind, remember now, Remember, God in His wonderful grace can never lie. It's impossible for God to lie. God must tell the truth. It is absolutely essential that God tell the truth. You're right next door. Why not? I can turn there. You can turn there. Titus chapter 1. Along with all kinds of references, God, you can tell us. Yes, I can. Titus 1, 2. Hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie elsewhere. It is impossible for God to lie. Promised before the world began. God, you're going to tell us who you are. I am. And I want you to pay attention, because I, in and by myself, I have no one. I am the only God and the only Savior, and therefore I bear witness to everything I say by myself. I swear by myself. What I say is true. Remember John 14? If it were not so, I would have told you. If it were not so, I wouldn't. Why would I tell you something that isn't true? So now, in the light of that, to Mark chapter 8, quickly. Mark chapter 8. And may I pick up, please? Mark 8, I'm going to go directly, if I can, in light of the context. Verse 34. And when he had called the people, 8:34, the Gospel of Mark. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever shall come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man, a boy, a girl, a man, a woman, if he shall have gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Ah, verse 38. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father and is with the holy angels. Now, God said, listen, I'm not ashamed to tell you who I am. And when I do something wonderful for you, and you believe in me, and receive me as your Lord and Savior, I make you my child. And you know, as we would share, Galatians 4, 6 and all of that, Romans 8, and the Spirit of God comes crying, present tense, continues to say, as we've said how many times of late, Abba, Father. So when you receive the Lord as your Savior, the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to educate you, to experience and get you into the habit of understanding, as a child of God, as a son of God, you have come to know God as your Father. Say it, Abba, Father, my Father, my Father, which art in heaven, my Father, in whose presence we are, my Father. Ah. Now, having said that little bit, keeping that in mind, I don't want to be ashamed of that. I don't want to be ashamed of that. Are you ashamed of that? Say, well, I wouldn't say that like that. Really? Well, I'm not ashamed. That's what happened. I don't deserve one drop of that. But I don't dishonor my Father who did it. I'm honoring my Father. Aren't you? Receive the child, receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, become a child of God. Or didn't you? What do you didn't make yourself a child of God. You didn't do that when you were born physically. You didn't do one thing. You just became a child of your parents. When you were born spiritually, you became a child of God. It's a wonderful thing. Now you've got to go and exercise it now. So having said that, 2 Timothy chapter 1. It's a wonderful thing. You're willing to say you're saved. Christ is your Savior. Well, then, is it more than that, or is that it? No, He's my Savior. He saved me so that I could be His in a most wonderful way. Now, 2 Timothy, and 2 Timothy and chapter 1, going, if I can, to verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, 2 Timothy 1:7, fear, cowardness, drawing back, ashamedness, a spirit of fear, on the contrary, but of power, dynamic, power, and of love and a sound mind. So we aren't going to be stupid about it. We're going to know. I'm not stupid. God, this is what you said you did. Do you know what? You were born physically, and you believe that your name, whatever they called you something, didn't they? And you had a birth certificate that had a name in it, and you claimed that name, didn't you? What right have you got to claim your name? Your physical name. And you've done it now for how long? And years as a habit. You claim that name because it's yours and it was on your birth certificate. And you claim that name. God, what have you done? You gave me a name. You gave me a name as your child's son. Then I have a right to claim it. And I don't want to disclaim it. I want to claim it. God, that's the only way to honor you. I don't want to be ashamed of you. Be ashamed of being saved. Verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. God, I don't want to be ashamed at all. I don't want to be ashamed. Paul says, don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. I'm going to lose my head by Nero pretty quick. You know, I'm not ashamed. I know. Put my head down. You know, we can do that. You're going to kill me. You're going to take my head. You can't kill me because I belong to Christ. I have a wonderful relationship to the living and only God. Now, having said I'm not ashamed, picking up, got the idea, you don't want to be ashamed. I don't want to be ashamed. But boldness, fearlessness. No, I'm not. Who I am? I'm not going to. No, just think of all the history and if you just yield to Islam, just reject Christ and honor Allah, whoever, nothingness. Just do it, and we'll spare you. Maybe, we'll spare you. Why would I do that? Allah isn't anything. I'm a child of God. That's all I am, and I can't be anything else. And Allah can't do a thing for me, not a blessed thing. He can't do one thing for you either, by the way. So now, here in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, Paul says, for which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. You're not ashamed? No. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that deposit which I have committed, deposited unto him against that day. God, I'm looking to you to keep my heart right, keep my head right, keep my soul right, keep my substance right, keep my society in order. God, I'm looking to you to work it all out, and I'm not ashamed to trust you. I'm not ashamed to look at you, God, not at all. And therefore, God, here we are, over to 1 John. Paul isn't ashamed. No, I don't want to be ashamed. I know who I am. You say, prove it. I prove it. I have the Spirit of God in you. Abba, Father. God is saying, Father. Father. That's what he's saying. My Father. I'm not going to deny him. You say, he's bearing witness. You don't like him? Talk to God. You don't like being saved? You don't like someone being saved? Talk to God. You don't want him saved? Then I'm saved. You have to tell God not to save him. So talk to God. Don't talk to me. Talk to God. Talk to my God. God did it wonderfully for you and me if we would but receive it. So now, 1 John. 1 John. And in chapter 5, as you know, verse 12 directly. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And, verse 13, these things have I written. We're reading what is written. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. Purpose. It's the purpose. That you may know, not hope, not feel, that you may know that you have eternal life. And that you may believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, that you may know that, and that you may be able to say that, because these are written so that you can know it. Your birth certificate is written so you know. And these are written so that you can know, so that you can be a know-so believer, a say-so believer. You can show that you're saved. And it is not, when you say you're saved and you're a child of God, you aren't pointing to yourself. You're pointing to the one who made it possible. I'm pointing physically, I'm pointing to my parents. Spiritually, I'm pointing to God. I became a physical being by my parents. I became a spiritual being by God. I point to God. God, I'm not ashamed of you, God. I know, and I'm going to say so. Period. I am who I am, and you made us children of light to walk in the light, and you gave us boldness and courage so that Paul could say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Well, I'm going to read verse 20 then, instead of saying it. For we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding about what? That we may know, K-N-O-W, know him that is true. So we aren't going to guess about it. So we're able to point to you, God. And we are in him that is true, even in him, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. Without the Son, you can't know the Father. This is the true God and eternal life. So God, Pilate said, I want to know the truth. Give me the truth. Who knows what the truth is? The Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the truth. I am the truth. I want you to know that what I've written unto you is the truth. I want you to know that when you receive me as your Savior into your heart, that's the truth. I want you to know that you believe in the God who's the truth. I want you to know it's true. It's true. What right have you got to say it? Every right in forever. Huh? Every right in forever, God. Wow. Closing, Philippians. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians 1 and going directly to verse 20. According to my earnest, remember Paul is in prison now, jail, Roman. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing, nothing I should be ashamed, but that with all boldness, fearlessness, plainness, frankness, with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. And by the way, verse 21, for me to live is Christ, and to die is great advantage, gain. I want you to know, the life I now live in the flesh, Galatians 2:20, I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's what I want you to know. The life I now have now is his. You don't like it? Tell him. Don't like God? Don't like him? You got it. You'd have to talk to God. You know, don't like what it says in the Bible? Well, rip it out. You can rip the page out and close the Bible. And you know what? You can close the Bible. They've been doing that for centuries and centuries. And trying to burn it and get rid of it and get rid of it and get rid of it. But you know what? God said it. He meant what he said. He says what he means. And God doesn't need the Bible to know what he said, does he? So when you read and look to God, God be to me who you are, and honor your word. I don't know it, but you do. God, you know. You know. Honor your word. Honor it. What do you think? And the Pharisees tried to trap him, but this, you don't trap God, and you can't trick God. And hiding in darkness will never do. Our Father and God, we look to you to deal with our heads and our hearts, our homes, our health. Thank you for caring. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for your grace and mercy. Thank you for being able, dying on the cross to save even such as us. Our Father, we thank you very, very much for who you are and what you do. God, who are we? We're in God. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you very much. Deal with the heart of the people across the country, the men and women, military, Israel, our God, all the way around the world, God. Christians in great trouble again. God, here we are. Thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. And perhaps we could sing, please, a stanza of 365. 365. Let's stand together as we sing. The second and third stanzas.